Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Speak Out Loud with Aliska Hahn. Your direct line to the studio is 646-200-0114. So call now to let your voice be heard. Thanks for listening. And now here's Aliska.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. This is Aliska Hahn, and welcome to Speak Out Loud with Aliska Hahn. This is our part two with Dr. Debbie Thomas. And let's see if we've got her on the line. Debbie, do we have you?
Let's see. I'm here. Can you hear
awesome.
Me?
Awesome. Yes, I can hear you. They changed everything around. In the last couple of years since I've been working with Blog Talk Radio. So I just had to kind of get used to it again. But wanted to welcome you back for part two of our chat, and you know, kind of wanted to invite everybody to call in if you have any questions. We do have a call-in line. I want to go ahead and throw that out there. That number is 929-477-3680. And we're going to start off, Debbie, we were talking last time specifically about your visions and your goals kind of how you went to the media with your story, and then they kind of like it got more sensationalized and twisted, and you just misrepresented. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
What happens is in life you have a lot of different experiences, and what I was learning, you know, just through my experiences in medicine and through really being a physician that actually takes the time with patients, you learn about social issues and things that affect people. You know, being a doctor, in order to be able to properly treat a patient, you've got to make the proper diagnosis. But, you know, that involves a lot more than just figuring out what disease or disorder. You know, a patient can't recover from surgery if, you know, the surgery is going to be something that they can't easily recover from because they live alone, or, you know, they have a dependency on narcotics for some other reason. So there's a number of different things that are affecting people socially that can affect their medical care. And so, you know, what I just started to learn was just there's a lot of things, you know, financial issues that are, you know, systematic problems that we have in the world that make it very difficult for the average person to really ever get ahead or thrive. And, you know, and it started affecting me, you know, and I've had a lot of successes in my life, but I'm also the kind of person that, you know, at Stanford, when they told us, you know, at freshman orientation, question authority, I took that literally. I mean, that's probably the most important thing I ever learned at Stanford. So I started really paying attention to what was going on in the world, and I realized that, you know, they don't tell you on TV what's going on in the world. So, I mean, I kind of stopped watching mainstream media a long time ago, and it was funny because it seemed like reality TV was what got people's attention. And
reality TV is the most unreal TV.
It's not even real. Exactly.
Right.
It's not real. But the, you know, the way it's portrayed with all of its drama, you know, when things start happening in your own life and you know, these are real things, I told Jamie, I said, our life's a reality show. So I thought, well, since people like to watch reality TV, maybe we could actually do a show about reality in that format, and they'd actually pay attention and learn something. So, you know, we had a lady that was, you know, an amazing lady who was going to help us with that idea, and she was affiliated with an independent network, but she had a lot of health issues herself, and there were just a lot of obstacles, and sadly, she passed away the beginning of 2015, and actually, I was out visiting her and trying to help her recover from a surgery for which she had had some complications. At the time, you know, that we kind of realized that the funding for the project was not going to come as fast as we wanted. So I got this brilliant idea to contact the OWN Network, see if they might want to do something like this.
Yeah.
I really had no idea that, you know, they would do a show where they kind of came in with an agenda and would take a lot of isolated things and, you know, not really tell the story of any of it, really. And, you know, and that's really unfortunate because then the whole discussion and what we intended to do was lost completely.
Well, yeah, and I can tell you that as somebody who has been in broadcasting for over 20 years, you know, if you have somebody, if you have a season finale show that somebody wants to produce, they obviously want that to be, you know, a high audience, you know, attention grabbing kind of show. And of course, your story was the season finale of that show, and it was you know, built up. And tell us a little bit more, you know, about, like, you know, how long they filmed and things that were cut and edited and misrepresented in that way.
Well, I mean, they pretty much came in and shot in a day, and you know, it was perfect because we had terrible weather. We had just had a flood. It was raining. It shot me in the rain. And, you know, because they have an agenda and they have a very short time to film, you know, they're running you from one shot to the other. So, you know,
yeah,
they pretty much came in their mind that we're going to shoot this and we're going to shoot that and we're going to shoot that. And, you know, and really I wasn't even allowed to, you know, explain anything. You know, it was like, well, this happened to you, and this happened to you, and, you know, and that's just bad, you know, without any discussion of why these things happen. And, you know, what I got out of, you know, of our experience, and like I said last show, you know, it took a lot of courage for Jamie to come out and be as open as he was about some of the things that he was struggling and working to overcome. And,
yeah,
you know, growing up in the country and just being this country boy, but, you know, obviously I saw what was special about him. You know, he had no idea what he was getting into. He just did it because he loved me. And,
right,
you know, but these were issues, you know, psychosocial issues that were going on that are, you know, very prominent in the area that we were living, but also in many parts of the country. You know, prescription drug abuse is a huge,
yes,
national problem.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's
of
because
epidemic
of what's happened with the healthcare system. If you're doing 10-minute visits and somebody says they're hurt, you know, the doctor's just, here you go, out the door, have a prescription. And, you know, narcotics don't even really work well for pain. You know,
right, and we've discussed
pain.
That. But yeah, that's important. I think it's really important for people to know that, you know, it was also misrepresented, you know, by not just the show, but, you know, in the Washington Post article and in other online articles that, you know, you walked away from medicine because you saw, you know, the kind of medicine that you were being asked to do was not the kind of medicine that you wanted to provide to your patients. This was your choice. You were not forced out.
Well, no, there's two reasons. One, I ran out of money. I mean, solo private practice is not doable mathematically. I mean,
yeah,
because you're paying your own malpractice. I mean, I had to close the practice because I just didn't have the revenue to pay my malpractice. So I just didn't renew my license, and I wasn't able to pay the malpractice. You know, I did have a run-in with the Virginia Medical Board because I was going to head with the hospital. They were giving me a hard time about people that I actually fixed. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm working on, you know, a book, It's Better to Look Stupid Than Be Stupid, But we're actually going to morph that into two different books, because there's so much about the medical field that that's going to be its own book. And then the other book is you know, what I learned from paying attention to what's going on in the medical field is I started paying attention to what's going on in everything, the financial system, the food, energy, and basically there's a lot of things that are just frankly hidden from the public.
That's right, and they're not getting told.
Yeah, we've got this election coming up, and people keep thinking, whatever president we pick is going to fix this problem. And really, it's something where the culture has to change. We have to basically get to the point of where we stop going along with the system that we've been handed. And I think that people don't really realize how controlled we are and how not free we are to really, insurance companies, instead of paying for $800 for this drug or that drug, they won't pay for organic food or actually things that have been proven
vitamins
to
or
prevent and cure disease.
Yeah. So you really started to see
science out
problems.
There all over, but it's suppressed.
Yeah.
I really
was. You started to see these problems in the medical field and then began to realize that these problems permeated all the other important systems that a person needs. And that's really what was concerning you. And can you talk, you and I have talked, off air, but tell me a little bit, because this Olympic mentality, or this mentality of being a visionary, because obviously, you trained, you were a world champion, you were, bronze medal winning Olympian, but that is, it takes a special type of person to train in a sport to that level and to be that successful and to be to go into the medical field and to do what you do what you did, and then now wanting to be, I guess, a visionary who is trying to move a culture forward and to cause a world change now. That is, you have said that your goals are wellness and freedom, and trying to reveal those obstacles to the general public.
Well, one thing I love is the brain. The brain is a fascinating organ, but it's probably the number one thing that holds people back from their potential. And, I get criticized a lot for using the word stupid. But one of my, one of the most famous Debbie Thomas quotes is, "I'm too stupid to know what's impossible." And so I just try things, and half the time they work out. I've pretty much accomplished every goal I've ever set for myself, other than to be an astronaut. But I didn't really try that. I got off on something else. But I got pretty far. I visited NASA and. It just took me a little longer to get
busy.
The orthopedics
that
I meant to. So, but I still love space. What's different about Olympians or overachievers is that, we don't let anything hold us back. Our brains are not wired that way. A lot of times people want to stay in that safe zone. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of what other people will think. And that's what holds them back. I'm not going to waste energy and waste time on doing something that doesn't really have meaning or purpose. And, quite frankly, a lot of the things that I do, it's like I want to prove to people, it's really not this hard. It's really not that hard to do this if you just, get determined and do it. Sometimes it might be a very long-term goal. You have to be able to look into the future and see how this all comes out to be able to tough it out. When they go and they tell a half story and don't really you know, explain details, yeah, you're going to get people commenting on social media, I don't understand this. Why doesn't she become a nurse? Why doesn't she just get a job?
Yeah.
You know, job means just over broke. You know, we've been
just
programmed to believe we need a job. But, you know, we quite frankly need more visionaries.
Yes.
And that first person is the tough, you know, it's hard to be that first person. Actually, I posted a video about leadership, and it's got this crazy dancing guy dancing out by himself in the middle of this field at some, you know, it looks like a music festival or something. And then finally, another guy joins him. So that first person that gets on board is actually really the brave one. So I kind of look at Jamie as being that one, because I'm like, Jamie, look at, we could change the world. And, you know, he's not used to being in the public eye. He's not used to, you know, we're going to talk about controversial issues and our, you know, challenges and tough things that we've gone through. So, you know, he had no idea what he was getting into. But, yeah, he's the first follower. You know, then the next people come, and then after a while when everybody's on board doing it, then you look foolish not doing it. So, you know, the leader is the person who can see the vision and where it's going to go before it's obvious to everybody else.
So you feel like, you know, your purpose, your vision now is, you know, you're not wanting to look back on, you know, you appreciate what you've accomplished in medicine and skating, but you're really looking ahead to reinvent yourself yet again, and to do so in a way that's going to be very important and to the mass public, you know, but still in a healing way, because like you said, your focus is wellness and freedom, and for people to understand that the food that they're eating is not good for them, and the overprescription of medications, and you know, so using your knowledge in a different way, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there's just so much work to do. There's more work to do than there is time, you know, than I have time left on this planet. And you know what my book, It's Better to Look Stupid Than Be Stupid, is about is, you know, it's about the perception of wellness versus, you know, success. You know, we have a tendency to idolize very superficial things, unfortunately, because we're just fed it all the time. And, you know, to achieve true wellness, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally, you know, financially and spiritually, you have to change what you do. And this is something that collectively we can do and move forward and solve a lot of our problems, you know, together. But trying to explain to people why is a challenge, because we've been kind of conditioned to believe that, okay, the government will fix this or somebody will fix that, and if we just vote in the right people. But the reality is, you know, we need to change what we do. If you don't want to be on medications and having to go to the doctor or have a lot of surgeries, you have to be health conscious, and not everything that you're learning from TV or your doctor is necessarily right. And so that's where that whole question authority thing comes in. And that's really the direction that I'd like to take people. I have a lot more to offer than, you know, my skating life. I God gave me a brain to work with. And yeah, it's frustrating when, you know, everybody thinks, oh, she's bipolar, and you know, we can get into a whole thing of you know, misdiagnosing people or overdiagnosing people. You know, when you are going through stressful things in your life, you might have a freak out once or twice. I've had one once, and I made the mistake of asking the wrong people for help. But these are things that are all experiences that I would love to write about, because no wonder nobody's getting better. The help is terrible. So
you
can make anything look like anything on TV.
That's true. We used to do it on radio all the time when I was working in music intensive radio. People would ask me, how do you talk over, at the beginning of, or with a listener, how do you talk over the beginning of the song that they're requesting? That's like magic. I said, no, that's taping tape together, it's editing, that's all that is. And the same thing, of course, in television happens. But it is very discouraging to see a couple things, really, to see people just kind of on social media to kind of be very unforgiving and unkind, because you are considered to be a national treasure. And, I didn't discuss this with you, before to mention it on, on the air, but, it was revealed in both the paper article and on the television show that you were having to file for bankruptcy because of your practice, which is actually, very common. The one of our presidential candidates has filed for business bankruptcy, I think, 4 or 5 times. Businesses go under all the time. But what I found especially hard to swallow is that the U.S. bankruptcy court seized your Olympic medal and your world medals and other medals that you won for this country. Is that not the truth?
Well, yeah, I had to put those down as my assets. So they have them.
Those are some of the things that did not get revealed. Well, that's
just sort of come to light. It takes that long to to go through with the bankruptcy. But we're trying to work on some options for that, but that's the reality. And I think that it does, resonate much louder when you see that, I've represented this country, I've met 3 presidents, but this will happen. And it's not really more than anything other than a very broken system. My bankruptcy attorney had handled 9 other doctors' bankruptcies within the year and a half that he did mine, as well. So, all these doctors who, they pretty much have to go and work for a hospital and work the way they want you to work, which is shoveling patients like cattle. And quite frankly, I just wasn't willing to do that.
Exactly. So that's I'm glad that we kind of are getting that truth out there, because, as you said,
what we didn't get out also was that the hospital didn't pay me what they were supposed to pay me. I wasn't working for the hospital, but I had a recruitment contract, and they were supposed to pay, $675,000 for the first year and paid more like $70,000.
That's a big difference.
I think we talked about that last week. Yeah, it's a huge difference. Trying to do a private practice and do all the paperwork and booking and the documentation of everything, that was kind of the excuse that they used. They're like, these reports aren't the way that we want, so they just kept sending it back, and I kept trying to get my biller. I'm like, this is what they want, can you do this? And I was working with this electronic medical record system, and it wouldn't do the reports the way they wanted. And, everybody thinks electronic records are so great. I could go into a whole thing about that. But I was a big advocate of them, but they are, eons away from ever being compatible with each other and user-friendly. And I'm
you're very computer literate.
These older doctors are like going out of their minds with them.
Right.
There, it's very difficult. I don't think people really understand the condition that our medical system is in, and you know, and why you, being the person that you are, especially because you are of the Olympic mentality, that you are, you know, somebody who has reached for and achieved near perfection, would want to step out of such a broken system. And I'm glad that we're kind of telling people the truth about that, and it's just so unfortunate that it wasn't portrayed like that. So, because like I said in the last show, the America seems to love the fall of the great ice princess. It's been done, you know, before, and America eats it up. They love the story, and it's just there's so much more behind it.
The problem that I also have with it is it masks, you know, other important stories. I mean, it bankrupts me, but it also bankrupts patients more so than doctors. Even if you have health insurance, you can be bankrupted by the medical system if you get some serious disorder. Then, you know, honestly, the things that work, they don't pay for. I mean, you know, naturopathic medicine is, you know, they call it quackery, they call it all these things, but there's plenty of science to prove that it works great. And, you know, I've seen it work great on many people. You know, I was introduced to it from either friends or people who, you know, had been to the regular doctor for 20 years and never had their problems fixed and started going to a naturopath. And you know, honestly, I think I said this last week, you know, the Hippocratic oath is first do no harm, but people also forget that Hippocrates said, let thy food be thy medicine.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're the only country, well, we're not the only country, but, you know, some of these other countries are fighting against the GMO food takeover. And, you know, we my goal is to never go to the doctor ever again.
I can
That's
agree.
My
and
goal.
You know, most of my listeners
know. I'm
going to
eat my organic. I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
And you know, I just don't want that. You know, I've just seen too much. I know too much.
And most
you know,
of my listeners
chemotherapy
know
doctors, when 85% of chemotherapy doctors would not do the treatment that they give their patients, and that is a real statistic.
Yeah.
You should be suspect. And that, you know, like I said, this book that I'm writing, It's Better to Look Stupid Than Be Stupid, it's about questioning authority. You can't just take everything you see face value. You do have to do some digging. And I really had to, you know, completely step away from medicine to be able to full-time, you know, indulge in this and make it a life purpose. And, you know, from the financial standpoint, yes, I do have a great system that if people take the time to understand it and participate, yes, they can start building wealth and be protected from the next financial crash. You know,
and
money
we have
is not
we only have today. I know. And we are going to talk about that on I'm going to tease the next episode because we have about a minute 30 seconds. And so I want to tease the next episode. You will be back with us to do another follow-up where we are going to talk about that a little bit more. But between now and our next episode, let me tell everybody that they can follow you on Facebook, and we have put the link to Debbie's Facebook fan page in the description, in the show description. Also, Can We Go Nowhere Any Faster Facebook page. That is also in the link description. And I just want to thank you again for, you know, taking some time with us today. And I really appreciate the knowledge that you're sharing with, you know, me and my listeners. And I can't wait until we sit down and chat again and start to talk about that the financial healing that everybody needs.
Yes, and I look forward to it. And I thank you for giving me the platform to be able to do that. I really care about humanity, and you know, sometimes you have to be the one that is the leader who falls on the sword. And, you know, I think about what Jesus Christ went through, and I'm like, okay, well, this is not that bad.
Well, thank you again, Ms. Debbie Thomas, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you, everyone.
Nights in white satin.